May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Mm-hmm. Please God to bless his word as we read it together from the prophecy of Isaiah. We'll read two chapters, and the first is chapter 35. The prophecy of Isaiah and reading chapter 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now we turn to chapter 41. Chapter 41 in this prophecy of Isaiah. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust of his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them, and passed safely even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first with the last, I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbour, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, He is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most gracious, most merciful, and eternal Lord God, do grant that we may have some right understanding of who we approach in prayer, the Majesty on high. O Lord, let us never have little views of our God. But Lord, may we come this morning and bow down, truly acknowledging that thou art that one who is high and lifted up, and that one who we must bow before. We pray, gracious God, as we've gathered here this morning to worship, that we may bow down before our God, seeking that thou would look upon us, each one of us, where we are in our spiritual life, that our gathering together today may be of eternal benefit. Lord, it may not prove to be just a mere fulfilling some obligation that we think we should do. But Lord, may we have come today with that true spiritual hunger and thirst after the things of God. And Lord, if that is so, may there have been the true living prayers go up to thee. And therefore, Lord, may we receive answers today. And Lord, surely that answer must be in the answer to that request of those ancient Greeks, Sir, we would see Jesus. We pray, Lord, today, by faith, we may view the Lord Jesus Christ as our great and glorious Saviour. That one who even today is in heaven at the Father's right hand, there to intercede for our prayers at this very time and indeed throughout our lives. And so, Lord, we pray today that would come and touch our hearts so that we may truly worship and not, Lord, be left just to a mere form of words, just a mere form of religion. We pray, Lord, today we may know the wonderful working, the wonderful effect of thy Holy Spirit coming to us and touching our hearts, applying thy word, speaking to that which will do us eternal good. And so, Lord, we pray today none of us may be found trivializing the great God, and let's never be found mocking thee. But Lord, help us to be rightly found in that attitude of worship. Lord, we're thankful then that it is our privilege to be able to come together. We're thankful, Lord, for the liberty which we enjoy in our country still, that we're able to gather as we are at this time. And Lord, may we really be thankful for the opportunity that we have to come and hear what God the Lord will speak to our souls. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to the end of this day, we may have the evidence that the Almighty God has truly been gracious and has met our case and has encouraged us and strengthened us and blessed us to have a good hope in thy mercy. That thou hast called us out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And we pray, Lord, the things of God may truly captivate our minds today, especially as we are gathered here in the attitude of worship. Lord, we know that the evil one, the devil, will do all he can to distract us from the things of God, and Lord, left to ourselves, we're very easily distracted. but we pray, gracious God, we may know the blessed evidence and favour of thy Spirit constraining us to listen and to hear what thou wouldst speak to our souls. Gracious God, may we be truly concerned that we may receive some spiritual food today. And Lord, may our concern be greater for spiritual food than it is for our natural food, which we need every day. And Lord, may we be concerned to receive spiritual food every day. Lord, that we may not go from day to day unconcerned about our dealings with our God. But Lord, help us then to come to thee continually praying. Lord, we think of that wonderful word, those two words or three words, pray without ceasing. Lord, what an encouragement that was to the church at Thessalonica. And Lord, may it be an encouragement to us today to hear such an exhortation being spoken to our very souls, that we may be concerned to be continually praying unto thee. Lord, let prayer never disappear from our lives. Lord, let prayer never be an irksome thing, but Lord, may it be the joy and rejoicing of our heart. And Lord, we are thankful to know and to believe those words to be so true. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Lord, we know we are unrighteous in and of ourselves, but we would be thankful to know today that we are clothed with thy righteousness. And as such, therefore, our prayers do ascend up to the holy place, and they will be effectual, and we will receive answers to our prayers. Lord, we pray for that true reality in our religion. We pray, Lord, to be delivered from just a mere formality. Oh, Lord, come then, possess our hearts and minds as we gathered here to worship today. And Lord, we'll be thankful that we are here. We're thankful, Lord, for the health and strength that enables us to gather here. We would be very thankful if we have a spiritual desire to gather here. And we're thankful, Lord, that we have the Word of God that we can read. And as we gathered here this morning to read those chapters in Isaiah's prophecy, and Lord, we pray that the Word, as we read it, may have spoken to our hearts, that it may have touched our hearts. Lord, it may have encouraged us. It may have been a blessing to us. And so, Lord, we seek that whenever we read the Word of God, it may be a living word, not a dry word, not a dead word, but, Lord, the very Word of God speaking to our souls. And so, gracious God, we've gathered here then today. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. And Lord, we pray for each one, young and old. Lord, we all need thee. We pray for the children in their young days, that they may hear the Word of God. Lord, thou wilt speak to them, and Lord, that they may be found following on to know the Lord. Be with parents, help and direct them in all they have to do in this difficult age in which we live. Grant them a right understanding to bring their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help them to speak often to their children the things of God. O Lord, and grant the children may be willing to listen and to receive the word. Those, Lord, who do not have children, we pray for them, and they may be a blessing. Lord, they may be pray for the church of God, and Lord, they may be blessed with many spiritual children. O Lord, we pray that everyone may be found working together, praying together. And then those who are old, Lord, we pray that they may ever be blessed in their spiritual life. And Lord, be able to encourage the young, to speak to the young. Oh Lord, we often think of that glorious word in Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance is written. May it be so in this place, Lord. May there be a loosing of tongues to declare what thou hast done, so that thy name may be lifted up and honoured and glorified and that, Lord, thy people encouraged. Oh, Lord, we know there is so much conversation today which is of the world, which is of the flesh, which will never bring any true eternal benefit. And, oh, Lord, we pray, therefore, that thy Holy Spirit may descend and bless the people with that door of utterance to be able to testify of thy love and thy goodness and of thy mercy, so that thy great name is honoured and glorified and the souls of the people blessed. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school. We pray for the children as they come to that. Lord, may they come, Lord, and have their ears opened to receive the word of God, that it may be a blessing to them. And Lord, we pray for the Church of God worldwide in the day and age in which we live. Lord, we live in a dark day. And Lord, we pray for thy mercy. We pray, Lord, there yet may be a turning unto thee in our own nation. Lord, how we are so sad of the situation which exists. Lord, the material age in which we live, the immoral age in which we live, the sinful age in which we find ourselves living in our nation. And yet, Lord, we know we have a God who looks down from heaven, a God who can do great things. And if it could be thy holy will, Lord, as a nation, we yet may know better days. We think of the words of the psalmist, will not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? O Lord, as a nation, may we yet be able to rejoice in thee, nor we commit to thee our government, Lord, in the chaotic situation which exists at the present time. O Lord, in the many wrong positions which are taken, the wrong views which are given. And Lord, we are so disappointed with our Prime Minister in the views that she takes. And yet, Lord, if we think of her and the many times that she has gone to church since she was a child, and yet, Lord, there seems to have been no effect. But Lord, thou canst bring to her mind perhaps some of those recitals which the Anglican Church make, and Lord, the word of God which must have been read in her hearing so many times, that Lord, it may have an effectual work in her heart, that she may be turned from following evil ways and listening to evil advisers, and Lord, seek unto the Lord. O Lord, we know that that which is impossible with us is possible with thee. And Lord, help us then to be praying for our nation. Lord, let us not be negligent in this great thing. And O Lord, appear for us then, we earnestly pray. We think, Lord, of those who are persecuted worldwide, Lord. We're thankful we have a very easy life here in our country by comparison. But we know, Lord, there are many who suffer greatly for the truth's sake. Lord, support, strengthen, and encourage them. And help us, Lord, to pray for them and help us to help them as we're able to financially. Oh, Lord, to help us to recognize they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. Gracious God, we pray for this people. We're thankful, Lord, for the encouragements they've had recently. We're thankful, Lord, for thy grace which has been evidenced. We're thankful, Lord, for those who have been moved by thy Spirit to testify what thou hast done for their souls. And Lord, we look around and we realize there's much lands to be possessed. We pray, gracious God, that thy Holy Spirit may move many to come and testify of what thou hast done for their souls. Oh Lord, we pray thou would arise and do great things. And so, Lord, hear us then when we pray for all these things. And now, Lord, we've gathered together. Oh, do come and touch our hearts. May the Saviour be lifted up. Lord, may we know what it is to be drawn to him. For, Lord, we cannot draw ourselves. We're thankful the Holy Spirit can draw us. And we pray we may know something of the power of it, even today, so that we may truly worship. Lord, accept our thanks for every blessing. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest. The gospel's gracious call obey, and cast your gloomy fears away. 1109.
Thank you.
May the Lord be pleased to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 35 and we read verses 3 and 4. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 35 and reading verses 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. We should be very thankful that God in his wonderful, infinite love and mercy has left on record so many encouraging words for us in the Word of God. And the truth is that God's Word really comes and meets every spiritual situation which exists in our lives. The Word of God, of course, is a very true word historically, but of course principally is a spiritual book for God's people to instruct us, to direct us, to correct us, to encourage us. And we have many encouraging words, and we need many encouraging words because we're on a journey and we're travelling through a wilderness, and there's much opposition. The devil wants to oppose us right the way through our journey. He never gives up until we pass out of time. So we should realize we have a great adversary of our souls and never underestimate the skill and the ability of the devil. But we should be very thankful that we have a great God who has given us many words of encouragement, many words to direct us as to how we should respond to many times of adversity, many times of temptation, many times of opposition, so that we are able to recognize, as the Apostle Paul said, we're going the strength of the Lord God. We don't go in our strength, we go in the strength of the Lord God. And our God is so much more powerful than the devil. Never forget that. We have a great God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than you and I can ask or even think. Well, these words here in these verses should be encouraging. We're told, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And that would seem very clear, therefore, that all of God's people have weak hands and feeble knees. And if you consider that, that means that if our hands are weak, we can't do very much of usefulness. And if we've got weak knees, we can't walk very well. And we definitely can't run. And yet the Word of God here, you see, is encouraging to strengthen either weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. What a blessing then if we have some confirmation from God that he is with us. Confirmation from God that we are amongst the living of Jerusalem, the true church of God. And surely this is one of the great issues that we do need, perhaps, the Word of God confirmed. Confirmed, perhaps, that what we are resting upon, what we are hoping upon, emanates from God himself. And it's not something that you and I have generated through our own hearts. And so the word is this, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Well, what a blessing it is that God can and God does these things for his people. And it will bring the true church of God to pray earnestly that he will strengthen them. And they may be of a fearful heart. Well, I suppose if we're taught by the Spirit, we will be fearful, but the Lord won't take any notice of us. We may be fearful, he's going to pass us by. And if that is so, it'll make us truly pray, truly cry unto our God. And prayer then won't be a formality, it'll be a reality. Because we will need the Lord to speak to us. We will need the Lord to confirm his word, to strengthen us, so that we are able to work, and we are able to walk, and we are able to run. And it is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if we are of a fearful heart, we're not to consider, well, of course, I'm naturally a fearful person, and I've just got to accept this situation. See, that is not from the Spirit of God. Because here we have the encouraging words, if we are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. And in order to strengthen us, we are told to behold your God. Well, we have the Word of God, which reveals God to us from Genesis to Revelation. And in the Word of God, we find everything within it which will help us, which will strengthen us. There are many, many evidences in the Word of God. And if this morning you feel weak and you feel feeble, it is surely because you're just looking at yourselves. And if we look at ourselves, my friends, we are hopeless because we're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. There's no hope in ourselves. Never have confidence in yourselves. My friends, let us be found looking unto God. Behold your God. The saints of God have looked to their God. They've recognized that without the Lord, they can do nothing. And what a blessing it is then to be directed by the Spirit of God to the things of God and to be encouraged by it. We can go right back to the life of David. You may remember David decided that he would build a permanent building for the Lord to take the place of the tabernacle. But the Lord said that he wasn't the person to do it. Solomon, his son, was the person that should do it. And we're told in the 28th of Chronicles, the first book of the Chronicles, and from verse 19, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now David, by the grace of God, was able to bear a testimony to his son Solomon with this enormous task before him of building a house for God, the temple. And he speaks to him, you see, in these very positive words. And it's good, isn't it, to know that the Lord God today is the same, and he speaks to our hearts. What a blessing when he speaks to our hearts with a positive word. Sometimes we're almost afraid to take it to ourselves. But my friends, let us remember it is the word of God. And so here he speaks, be strong and of a good courage and do it. He didn't say to him, no, just sit down, Solomon, and just see if you're able to. Just see what you should do. He told him what he should do, and he said, do it. And then fear not, nor be dismayed. And then these are the encouraging words, and they should be encouraging to us today. For the Lord God, none else, the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And so today, perhaps, you may be fearful, and you may feel weak. No doubt Solomon was in that position, and yet you see he had those encouraging words from his father, and they were encouraging because they came with the testimony of his father, how he had been helped and how he'd been strengthened and how he'd been blessed and how he'd been given faith. David was given faith. We see on so many occasions when God spoke to him, many times you can read in Samuel and in the Chronicles when God spoke to him. He asked the Lord a number of times with regard to a battle. What should he do? And the Lord answered him. And he went in the strength of his God. Didn't rely on his own ability. He'd asked, God had heard, God had answered, and he followed and did that which was in accordance with the will of God. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we today have the same God, the same great God. Sometimes you would think people didn't know the same great God. They thought he was a different God. My friend, we have a God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than you and I could ask or even think. And so here, may you and I be confirmed by the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God for direction. Turn to the Word of God for help. Turn to the Word of God to receive strength and encouragement. And the Word of God, may it then come and confirm you. Confirm you in the right way. Confirm you in what you should do and in what you should say. The Lord then gives faith to follow this way. Now, faith is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. You may ask, well, what is faith? Well, of course, the Apostle Paul defines it in the 11th of Hebrews, and he tells us, now faith is the substance, which means the ground of confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes perhaps we want to be able to view things, grasp them perhaps with our natural hands. The Church of God is called to walk by faith. My friends, God gives faith. He doesn't leave his people. He gives faith. And that faith is set before us in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews. I won't go through it now. But as you go, you can read it and be encouraged by it. God's servants, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, many of the God's saints mentioned, they had mountains before them, but God was with them. They walked by faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what a mercy it is when you and I look to the Lord to receive help and strength. And what do we do? We hope in the Lord. And that's not vain hope. That's a good hope. Have you a good hope this morning? Well, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he tells us this: for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Perhaps you've been waiting for a long time. Perhaps a time of deliverance has come or is coming. And we are told, likewise the Spirit of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities. We all have infirmities. And one of the greatest infirmities you may have is an unbelieving heart. Yes, the evil heart of unbelief it's spoken of. And you see, you turn away from the promises of God. Turn away from them. Well, remember this. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's an encouraging statement, isn't it? To strengthen you. Weak as you may feel. You may feel, well, I don't quite know how to pray. Well, that's not surprising, isn't it? That's why we have an encouraging word like this. That you can come to the Lord. You don't have to have a polished prayer. You don't have to have it sorted out, as it were. You can come to God just as you are. The hymn writer says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. You see, the Lord hears the prayers of such. You can't then claim it as your wonderful prayers. You'll acknowledge it was the goodness of the Lord that took you in hand, caused you to pray, caused you to cry for mercy, caused you to seek for his blessing, caused you to seek for his favour. And you see, you didn't really know what you needed, and we don't. But God does. God does. Let us not come to God in our weakness and think that we know what will put it right. We may have got our little plans. Sometimes we may have got big plans. Well, the Lord's ways are higher than your and my ways. And they're much better. And it's a wonderful thing, therefore, to be able to come and to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. And we're encouraged to come, to cast all our cares, all our burdens upon the Lord. The Lord's put the care there, he's put the burden there. He knows what it's doing. What a good thing it is if it's driving you to show your weakness and you need God to confirm his word to your soul. Say then that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now, when the Lord comes, what does he do? I'll tell you what he does. If you're in this state where you recognize yourselves as weak and feeble because of your sins which have laid you low, brought you down, you're not such a great person as you thought you were, you begin to understand what the Apostle Paul said as the chief of sinners, and less than the least. You're not very high in your own estimation. You're very low in your own estimation. And God is a very holy God. He's a very righteous God. And you are very unholy and very unrighteous. Well, what would you then need in that condition? You'll need a Saviour. You'll need the blessed Lord to come where you are and to confirm his word to you, and confirm that it's his work. Confirm to you that it's him that has brought you to the condition you're in. And he's brought you down so that you may look to him for strength. You look to him for support. And so the encouragement then is today, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Because you come to a God who knows the end from the beginning. You know to a God, come to a God who is very merciful and very gracious, and you come to a God who indeed has given his life in order to save you. You see, what does this do? It brings you to the foot of the cross. It brings you by faith. Don't forget that. By faith. To view a crucified Christ, the Saviour of sinners. And the Lord brings you there to look to him. Look away from yourself. You come with nothing. You come empty. You desire that the Lord will meet your case. The Lord will come and say unto you, I am thy salvation. I am the one that will save your soul. I am the one who has died for you. I am the one who has redeemed you. I am the one who has shed his most precious blood in order to save your soul. Now then, Christ then takes on a very different value. He becomes a living reality, not just a name. Now bless God this morning if you have been brought to weakness and feebleness and you desire God to confirm to you that you are in the right way, you are in the narrow way, you're in that way that leads to eternal life. And you will be confirmed if you have the blessed confirmation that by the grace of God, you are looking to Jesus as your only hope. And there's nowhere else. There's no one else. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look anywhere else. Look to Jesus. Firm and strong. Oh, what a mercy it is to have such a kind and such a gracious God who produces an amazing change. So that you may then be encouraged by the words we read in the 41st of Isaiah, in the 10th verse, where Isaiah says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, how confirming that should be. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You may be dismayed because you felt weak and feeble. Bless God if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our strength. Just like the apostle tells us when he wrote to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a compassionate Saviour we have. And therefore, to hear such words as this, "For I am with thee," the Lord Jesus with us. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Thy God, personal. Real religion is personal. It's between your soul and God. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. Yea, I will with a right hand. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." There are many positive "I wills" there. And the devil will not take them away. Realize, this is the word of God in you. So you can tell the devil that. You can tell the devil, "I am relying upon the word of God. I am relying upon what he says in the word of God." And here we have these glorious words this morning, "For I am thy God." Now, if you're a true seeker, that'll be a word of confirmation, won't it? That'll be a wonderful word of strength to your soul. And it will strengthen you, and it will encourage you to realize that God is with you. Yes, the word is being confirmed. What a good thing it is when God does confirm his word. And he does. And he does. And some of us think there's a wonderful little example, an encouraging word for us in the Gospel of Mark, where the man speaks to us with these words. And in the ninth chapter of Mark, we're told this. It's about a man with a dumb spirit being cast out, and they came to his father, and they asked the father, and they said, "How long is it ago since this came upon him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, it may be that's what your cry is. "Oh, that I could believe." Well, the father answered in this way, and this is an encouraging statement. This is what he says: "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." That means he didn't want to not believe. He wanted unbelief to be removed. And he comes in this beautiful way: "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." What a mercy that is, if God gives us that grace and that desire to truly seek unto him in faith, believing. And let the devil not take away that which God gives. Be strong and fear not. Be strong and fear not. Just as these words in the 41st chapter tells us. He goes on to say, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." See, when the Lord touches our hearts and deals with our sins, we don't think we're a very great person. We understand what the man has said here. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." You don't feel, "Well, that doesn't describe me, I'm much better than that." You'll come down to that low place. "I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." You see, surely here then, there's a little confidence. You're coming to your God. This God who's looking upon you. This God who's working in your heart. This God has caused you to see something of how bad you are, and caused you to look to him, to cry to him, to realize here is your only hope. "Yes, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." To be able to come then to this great and blessed God as your Redeemer, the one who paid the price of your sin. No one else could. And there was a great mountain of sin, a great burden of sin. And there it was, standing between you and God. No way of acceptance but through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, says the Saviour himself in the 11th of Matthew. Come unto me. Don't go anywhere else. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. See, these who are weak and feeble, labouring and heavy laden, that's who the gospel invitation comes to. Not the self-righteous, not those who think they know it all, but those who come bowed down, labouring. Come unto me, all that labour and are heavy laden. And the gracious promise is, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Perhaps you've been restless. The devil likes us to be restless. He likes us to give up the things of God. He wants us to turn away. He wants us to come to the conclusion there's no hope for us. Well, remember, the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost, those who had no hope in themselves. That's who the Saviour came to save. Those he came to speak these words then. If you're of a fearful heart, fearful perhaps that you've just sinned too much, you're beyond the reach of mercy. No one is beyond the reach of God's mercy, are they? No one. And of course, the first chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, word tells us this: come now. Come now, says the word. Come now, in the 18th verse of the first chapter. Come now. It's good, isn't it? Don't put it off. Come now. And let us reason together. How humbling to think the great God calls us to come, to pray to him, to come to him as we are. This is what he says: though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, gracious words, the Lord makes us willing in the day of his power. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And then there's a solemn warning: but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, be encouraged. We have words like this from God, and not my words, and the words of God come now. What a mercy it is we have a God who deals so lovingly with us in our condition. You see, they describe there the badness of sin. And yet you see, we're not without a good hope that God will have mercy upon us. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And the prophet goes on to say, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Perhaps your eyes have been blind. You've had this situation. You're burdened with it. You're bowed down with it. You feel weak. And you feel feeble. And then you see the Lord may come and confirm his word, the word upon which he has caused you to hope. Is there a word? God has spoken, which you're hoping, you're resting upon. And you see, may the Lord graciously confirm it, which will strengthen you. And when that happens, it's like this. Your eyes are open. The eyes of the blind shall be open. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then he speaks about these who were weak and feeble. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. That's good news. You're a different person. The Lord has come and touched your heart. He's shown you where you are. Directed you to the Saviour. There you see in him all that you need. All that you need. Nothing lacking in the Saviour. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool. Perhaps you felt just like that, parched ground, hard-hearted. And yet you see when the Lord comes, and the rain comes, the Spirit of God comes into your heart, you're a different person. The Lord produces that tenderness, that softness, the hardness is removed. You bow down and you worship the blessed Saviour for what he's done. And you know it's not your work. And you know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is a wonderful and glorious confirmation to you. Rest in the Lord. Yes, what a mercy it is to come and rest in the Lord. And we mentioned in the 11th of Hebrews, the glory of faith, and in the 12th chapter of this same letter or epistle, we read that, wherefore, well, perhaps I'll read the 11th verse in the 12th chapter. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Sometimes the Lord does chasten us. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That means concerned about the state of your soul. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So that'll be a great blessing for us today if we're encouraged and the word of God is confirmed to our heart. That's what we need, isn't it? The confirmation that God has spoken to us. The confirmation the Lord is working with us. The confirmation the Lord hasn't cast us off. The confirmation to be encouraged to continue to come unto him. And as such then, he gives strength. He gives strength, you see, to those who have no strength. And say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. These are straight words, aren't they? Fear not. Fear not. There are many fear nots in the word of God. We should always be thankful for the word of God, which is so wonderfully true. In the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, he says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. Does that speak to our heart today? But now, you see, as the first chapter I refer to, come now. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, and it's his work. It's God's work which created us naturally. It's God's work which produces that new life in our soul. Glory to God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by his grace. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Don't think the Christian life is an easy life. It's not. It's a difficult life. But this is the encouragement. This is the word of God telling us that when we pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. If God be for us, who can be against us? And you see what a blessing it is. If through this path, our Lord gives us faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, look to the cross, look to the crucified Saviour. And my friends, there was the work, that work of salvation, completed when the Lord said, "It is finished." It was complete. And bless God if it's done for you and done for me. So that we rejoice in the finished work of the Saviour. And we know that he finished that which his Father gave him to do. And then he rose from the dead. A conqueror over sin, death, hell and the grave. And remember this. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £725, and for the TBS on Monday to £1,700, for both of which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Hyde hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 754. Holy Comforter, descend, testify of Christ the Lamb, from the foe our hearts defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. 754.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.